Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Many of you are going to suffer persecution. Many of you already have suffered persecution. And if you haven't realized it by now, when you really seek the truth and you walk after the truth and you seek after righteousness, when you really do that, persecution comes. I mean, it's just going to be part of what it is. Now, the fact of the matter is that from early in Christianity, not even in the church as in Christians from Jesus' time, but even from the early believers in God, the Hebrew people, we see persecution has existed right from the very beginning. So we're going to look at all that stuff this morning, and then we're going to see what God wants to say to us. But let's start this morning in Matthew 5. Verse number 10. Matthew 5, verse number 10. Now I'm going to, this morning, going to go into some of the Greek words here this morning, because I think it's important for us to get a good understanding of what is really being said. In translation, when the Bible is translated from Greek to Hebrew, you can't believe how many words have multiple meanings in the Greek, but the translators had to pick one word. And, you know, there's so much that needs to be discovered before you can actually pick the word accurately. You know, you have to understand the person writing the letter, because these are all letters. The person writing the letter, what was his style of writing? What was a judgment to him, you know, in the context of what he's saying? So in order for us to find out what God really is wanting to say in the text, there has to be so much background research done before you can actually say, well, this is what God is saying, and this is what the Greek actually means, or the Hebrew actually means. So the reality is that the best way for us to read the Bible would be able to read it in the original language. But we can't do that. But today, with technology, specifically the computers, it's incredible how much you have available to you. Amen. Get into Bible school and I'll teach you all this stuff. Amen. So, Matthew 5, verse number 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted. The word blessed means, it's not complicated, it means fortunate or privileged. So this is Jesus speaking now to us, to the believers, and he's saying, blessed are those who are persecuted. Fortunate are those who are persecuted. Privileged are those who are persecuted. Did I miss something? Like we are blessed, we are fortunate, we are privileged if we are persecuted. Now, what does persecuted mean? Persecuted means in the Greek to be harassed for your beliefs, to become subject to harassment and attack due to one's religious beliefs. To be persecuted, that's what it means. It means persecuted means to be persecuted, to be harassed, to come under attack because of what you believe. Now let's take a look carefully at this, and we're going to really break it down. But let's start by taking a look at persecution in the early days. And we can go as far back as Cain and Abel. And let's go to Hebrews 11 verse number 4 and see what the text says. It says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Now, I want you to pay very careful attention to this. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. So we see that Cain was seeking after righteousness. Abel was seeking after righteousness, desiring to please the Lord, desiring to do what God wants, desiring, which is the key word. And then he gets persecuted by his brother to the point of death. Right in the beginning, we see a man desiring to do things with righteousness, the righteous way, the right way. And immediately there's persecution. Amen. We see Lot, and I mean, I can give you so many examples. I'll give you like four. Lot's experience also illustrates the suffering involved in refusing to conform to what popular behavior says. And especially to in this society, it's exactly the same. There's so much perversion and garbage going out there. And if we don't conform, you may be persecuted. Let's take a look at it in 2 Peter 2, verse number 7. 2 Peter 2, verse number 7. And delivered, listen, righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day, being seen and hearing their lawless deeds. It's incredible because it comes back to the same thing. Someone that desires to walk rightly before God. Someone that chooses righteousness over the things of this world, and how he becomes and he goes into persecution, into the point where even his soul had to suffer. His inner parts, his inner being, his emotions, his intellect was so persecuted because he would not conform to this world. If you were a prophet back in the day, the prophets who carried an uncompromising truth. In other words, they were not willing to compromise. The fact of the matter is that according to Jewish custom and eyes, if you were a prophet, that was normal. You were going to suffer persecution. You would suffer because you would not conform. Because you would never preach a word that would not be the truth. You would not be willing to submit to the pressures of the hour. Acts 7:52 says, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. We see Daniel. We see Jesus himself. And let's not even get started in the New Testament, because we'll be here for a long time. Persecution, martyrdom, death. These guys died for the cause. For the cause of the king. Amen. For a message of truth that has become so watered down so that it's comfortable and it's nice and it makes us feel good. And that's not what God's word says. And the text this morning, and I'm telling you right now, I mean, I spent hours going into the Hebrew and the Greek. I give you one Greek meaning. Let me tell you, you don't know what I've done to get to that meaning. It takes me hours to literally go into every word to have a look, because I want to make sure I'm presenting to you what God's word says. Amen. I'm not perfect, guys. I'm going to make mistakes. But I'm telling you now that this message is so important this morning. It's so important. Amen. Let's go on. Are you guys okay? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 12, and we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure. 2 Corinthians 4, 9, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Galatians 5, 11, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Now watch. In 2 Timothy 3:12, this is my favorite one of them all. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. What do you mean? Desire to live godly. I'm under grace. I thought I don't have to do anything. Oh, you're right. Your salvation is free and there is nothing you can do. You can't do anything. It's a price that has been paid in full. Now, I'm glad you clapped for that, but please clap for the second part. But that doesn't mean that we should not seek to be holy. Perfect. Listen, you'll never be perfect. Okay, the sooner you realize it, the better. But we cannot call those things that are evil good. And I believe that God is speaking so loudly to His church right now, that it is time we stand up and we preach the truth for what it is. We don't water down the gospel. Because there's so much more. And there's so much the church is missing out on right now. We have a form of godliness, but we deny the power. There is no power because there is no desire anymore in the church to be as He is, to walk as He walked. Paul said, imitate me. But what he means is imitate me as I imitate Him. In other words, have the same desire that I have to serve Him. Have the same passion that I have to serve Him. You can't be like Him. He's one of a kind. Amen. But we can certainly desire to seek after righteousness, desire to seek after God with all of our hearts. No compromise. The fear of the Lord. What's happened to the church? Amen. Now, that scripture, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution fits in so beautifully with the text. Now let's go back to Matthew 5, verse number 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What does that mean? Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of desiring to live right. The word righteousness means those who desire to live godly and to live right. We must not think that everything we have to deal with, listen to me. Righteous living is something that you desire. You are already a righteous people, but that doesn't mean that now you mustn't desire to live righteously, because blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Amen. Now, many of us are persecuted in so many different ways, in so many different levels. And for me to sit here and go through everything about how a believer is persecuted. Listen, today in the church, if you believe what I'm teaching you now, they're going to persecute you. Because it doesn't fit in with the mold of human rights. It doesn't fit the mold. I'm not going to do what I just want to do. I'm going to do what He says I should do. I'm going to live how He says I should live. Amen. Okay. Now, the fact of the matter is that many times believers suffer many things. And oftentimes they believe they're suffering because of their righteous living or because of what they've done. And they don't realize that they're not. So sometimes things happen to you and it has nothing to do with what you've done for God. In fact, it's the total opposite. Let's go to 1 Peter 4, verse number 15. Now, this is important. I want you to see this. Because yes, many of us do suffer persecution. But oftentimes we suffer things because of our own, for a lack of a better word, stupidity. Maybe you've never been stupid, but I have. Amen. 1 Peter 4, verse 15. Now watch. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer. Now watch what he throws in here. Or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. In other words, lots of our suffering is due to our own things that we do to ourselves. And one of the greatest tragedies in the church is busybodies. So busy with everybody's business. So busy telling the leadership what to do. So busy, so busy, so busy. And look how they've been categorized with murderers. I never said it. Please don't get angry at me. Go fight with Peter. I mean, we know the guy was a little strange, but go fight with him. Because it's the word of God, guys. So oftentimes you'll see, they'll come. Oh, Pastor Alex, you know, that pastor was so bad. And, you know, he just didn't want to this. And they go on and on and on and on. And I suffered persecution. No, my friend. You suffered because of your own, what you did. That's what caused you to suffer. So oftentimes we suffer because of what we do. Amen. Everybody say, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for grace. Amen. Okay, we've all made mistakes. Amen. Okay, but it's important for us to see it. Because sometimes when something's going on in your life and you are suffering, make sure you're suffering for the right reasons. And not because of what you've done. Is that okay, guys? Because he says, let us, basically what he's saying is, but if we suffer because of Christianity's sake, because of righteousness' sake, then we can rejoice. But if it's because of what we've done wrong, well, they'd just not be rejoicing too much. Amen. Are you guys okay? All right, let's go on. Now, let's go back to the original text, Matthew 5, verse number 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now watch. For theirs, everybody say theirs.
Theirs.
One more time.
Theirs.
Everybody say mine.
Mine.
Is the kingdom of heaven. So in the context of the text, the theirs is you. Who? Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What becomes theirs? The kingdom of heaven. What does the word kingdom mean in the Greek? And listen to me, you can stand on your head. You cannot argue this with me. Because I've tried to argue it with me. Amen. And the word kingdom in the Greek means kingship. It means royal power, royal rule, royal reign, kingdom. It means the domain ruled by a king or queen. So it's saying that if you seek after righteousness, if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, that the kingdom of heaven, the royal power, the rule, the dominion of heaven is yours. Now that's a big deal to about 20% of you, because they understand it. A form of godliness, but denying the power. Why? Because there is no power. If you have no rulership, if you have no authority, how can you have power? But if you see, if you're not seeking after righteousness, then this isn't yours. And if it is yours, it's dangerous. It's very dangerous because it gets abused. Oh, we can get into a big discussion about impartation then. I believe in impartation. Amen. I'm not going to go there today. Amen. So in other words, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the royal power, the royal rule, the royal reign of heaven. Now, the word heaven is also very powerful in the Greek, because I've taught you about the heavens. Now, I've taught you about three heavens, right? Okay. Now, the enemy has a certain amount of rulership in the world. He is the powers and the principalities. And where do they rule? In the air, in the heavens, in a certain level of heavens, right? Now, those who seek after righteousness, those who are persecuted for righteousness, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, yours is the power and rulership over that dominion, over that area. Come on, somebody. In other words, every principality, every power, every evil spirit must submit to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you have that rulership, you have that power in you. Not of yourself, because of what you're doing. What are you doing? You are seeking after righteousness. Whose example are you taking? You're taking the example of Jesus. Okay. Amen. Now watch. Verse number 6. No, let's go to verse number 6. Sorry. Let's go to Matthew 5, verse number 6. I want you to see this. So we know, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now watch, Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? They shall be filled. They shall be filled with what? With everything they need, that power, that authority, that everything they need to be victorious in this world. That doesn't mean the persecution won't come. It's coming. It's part of it. But you will be filled. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Yes. But are you seeking righteousness? Oh, but Pastor Alex, I am righteous. I know you're righteous. But what is your desire? What do you desire? Because it's what you desire that matters. Let's go all the way back to when Samuel was having a conversation with God. And God said to Samuel, you're looking in the wrong place, my boy. I do not see as man sees. Paraphrasing now. I always look at the heart. God looks at your desires. If your desire is to seek after righteousness and is to live right before Him, you will be filled. You will be able to walk in power and authority. Amen. The seeking is so important. Amen. The desire is so important. Can you guys say amen? All right, I said this, the qualities of heaven, the ability to have royal power and dominion are available to a person who seeks after righteousness, to a person who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Those qualities are available to you. Now, let's go back to Matthew 5. Let's go to verse number 11, back to our original text. I don't need to say verse 10, you know it now by now. Amen. Verse number 11, blessed are those... Blessed are you when they revile. The word revile means mock or harshly criticize. So blessed are you when they mock you, when they harshly criticize and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now this is where the text gets extremely important, because we've seen now that he's saying, and he's overiterated, he said it now twice, that blessed are you if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when they falsely accuse you. Okay? So again, he's kind of saying there, you know, don't think that everything that comes your way is because of me. Sometimes it's your own fault. You got it? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Blessed are those who are falsely accused. Amen. Are persecuted and falsely accused. Amen. Okay. Now, in verse number 12, it starts with a very bold statement. And when you understand the original language, you'll understand this. It says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Both rejoice and exceedingly are imperative verbs. An imperative verb is a command. So the first time in the text now, right now, the first time we are seeing a command. In other words, when persecution comes to you, you must rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Okay? Because something's busy taking place inside you. Something's busy happening, which you'll see in about 3 minutes, 4 minutes, maybe five. We'll see. Amen. You'll see something's changing. But Jesus is saying to you that when this comes, this persecution, because you're seeking righteousness, because you're desiring to walk right before me, because you desire to be holy, regardless of what they say, because you choose to do this, you must now rejoice, okay? And then something's going to happen. Now watch. Amen. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So in other words, there is a great reward for those in heaven. So you must rejoice. But Pastor Alex, why do you keep talking about righteousness? I'm already righteous. I know. Does this say anything about being saved? Or does it speak about reward in heaven? Why do we confuse the two? This is my desire to worship you, to honor you, to follow you, to love you, to give my life to you, to give all that I am to you. Why? Because you did it first for me. So I seek after righteousness. I'm already righteous. I know that. I get that. But I want to see a church like the early church, operating in power, signs, wonders, miracle, deliverance, people getting saved in the thousands. And how does that happen? Oh, but you know, no, but they just, you know, they were righteous. Yeah, okay, sure. They all died, men. Every one of them. Every one of the apostles was put to death, including John, but he survived because he was raised from the dead. Oh, but, you know, it's easy. No, it's not. Come on. Get with the program. Let's stick to the truth of God's word. What does it say? Let's not go and confuse what the text is saying. It's very simple. That blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for those who desire to walk rightly. Abel desired to please God and made the best sacrifice to God. And he was killed for it. Lot decided to stand up against the evil of the day. They couldn't stand it. They came against him. They turned against him. They wanted to destroy him. Why? Because he wanted to walk rightly before God. The prophets, the same thing. Jesus was the perfect example of true righteousness. Now, we can't attain that. We can't achieve that. And the only way to salvation, because of our filthy rags and our weaknesses, is salvation, which he's paid in full. It's done. Nothing you can do. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying, guys? Now, watch. All that to say this. Watch. Sometimes we see in our Bibles that now it looks like a different area or different chapter, but actually, or not even a chapter, but a different heading, when actually the text must continue. Now watch. So in other words, great is my reward in heaven. But why is it great? What happens to me when I seek after righteousness, when I hunger and thirst after righteousness? Watch. You are, verse number 13, the salt of the earth. Salt is very valuable and very precious, especially back in the day, back in those days. Roman soldiers were actually paid with salt. That's where the phrase comes from, worth his salt or worth your salt. We are like salt because we are a preserving influence. Salt was used to preserve meat and to slow decay. Christians should have a preserving influence on the culture around them. We are also told to be flavorful. Salt gives flavor. We are told to be flavorful. Now watch. You are the salt of the earth, verse 13. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. What does it say about being filled? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. If you want to keep your flavor, seek after righteousness. Seek to walk holy before him. Listen, your mistakes will happen. And he will be good and kind and loving to forgive you. Don't beat yourself up. Keep going. But the fact of the matter is, your desire is the important thing. Your heart is what he's after. Your heart is what he looks for. So he's looking at that. Are you hunger and thirsting after righteousness? Or are you saying, well, you know, I don't have to do that anymore. It's all done for me. So I'm just going to do what I want, live how I want. If you want to keep your flavor, you have to be filled. Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Salt must keep its saltiness or it's worth nothing. If we don't keep our flavor, the fact is that we're worth nothing. very little. You are the light of the world. Now, this is a very powerful statement because Jesus called himself the light of the world. Now he's calling you the light of the world. John 9:5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Let's go back to Matthew 5:14. Are you guys okay? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In order for us to be a light, we must first receive that light. We need to be filled. We need to seek after righteousness. He has the key. The two words I told you earlier on are the key to success with this, all of what I've said to you this morning. And that is when persecution comes because you're seeking righteousness, rejoice. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? Because you'll keep your flavor. Because your light will shine bright and you will make a difference. You will be like a city on a hill. You will not be able to be hidden. You'll be standing out. You might not be so popular, but you will make a difference. You will make a difference. Because you see, we love to read passages like these signs will follow those who believe. But when we talk about believe, believe means a whole lot of things. Lord, this morning in this place, we are a people that are so thankful for the sacrifice that was made on that cross. And Lord, that is never taken for granted. We can't save anything. Salvation comes because of the blood of Jesus. And regardless of what we do or don't do, that price has been paid in full. And we thank you for it with all of our hearts. But Father, we also desire, as now this gift, which really is a gift of salvation that has been given to us, has been given to us. Now we desire, and that's the word, Father, that I know you want to hear from us. I desire to love you, to walk close to you. I desire to be like Moses, who when the people said, you go speak to him, I want to be like Moses, and I want to go speak to you on the hill, Father. We want to be like that. We want to seek after you. We want to walk and talk to you face to face. We want to have encounters with you. We want to be filled with you. We want to be the salt of the earth, Father. We want to be the light in this world because you are that light and you are in us. And without you, we can do nothing. But Father, we cannot do it unless we are filled with you. And so we do. We seek it. We have been made righteous. But my heart longs after you. This morning in this place, Father. For yes, there is a season. Yes, a season will come. And already is, says the Lord. A season of persecution. For those that stand up, and there will be many that will stand up in this hour, for this is an hour of awakening, says the Lord, an hour of awakening to the church. Right now, I'm shaking things, says God, for I desire that my people would turn from their wicked ways and turn to me, says the Lord. I'm shaking my house, and then I will shake this planet, says God. And in this hour, those who seek after righteousness and are persecuted for righteousness' sake, they will be filled. And they will walk in the power of my might. And there will be a move of my spirit on this planet such as like this world has never seen. A peculiar people. True worshippers. Those that will worship me in spirit and in truth, says the Lord. And so, Father, in this place this morning, All the glory, the honor, and the praise is yours. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you that you wash away our sins. Thank you that we stand righteously before you, but always desiring to draw closer to you and to walk in your sight. Holy, holy, as you are holy, for you are a holy God, and you never change. So all the glory and honor and praise is yours. Now, Father, I pray for every precious person that is here this morning, that you would bless them, that you would strengthen them and encourage them, that the joy of the Lord would be their strength. And as we continue this journey with you, Father, we want to finish like Paul was, like Paul did. When he finished, he said, I finished the race, I finished strong. Your presence is here right now, Father. We thank you for your presence. Your presence is sweet in this place. Can you bow your heads for just a moment, guys? I just feel very heavy and I need to do this. Just dim the lights for me for just a minute. Please, nobody look around right now. If you've come into this place and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you say, Pastor Alex, this morning I want to give my life to him. I want to give my heart to him. I want to give everything to him. If that's you and you want to do that, I'm not going to embarrass you and call you to the front or anything like that. Just lift your hand so I can pray for you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much, guys. God bless you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor Alex, include me in that prayer. Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, include me in this prayer. I want to give my heart to Jesus today. Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand down. God bless you. God bless you. If there's anybody else here this morning that says, Pastor, today I want to recommit my heart to God. I want to give him everything this morning. I want to seek after righteousness. If that's you, just lift your hand and I'll include you in that prayer. I see that hand. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Anybody else say, Pastor, include me in that prayer and I'll include you. Thank you. I see that hand in the back. Thank you, ma'am, in the front. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Can we all stand for just a moment? I'm just going to quickly pray and then we're going to close. Can I ask all of you if you would pray with me and agree with me, and we can all say this prayer together. For those of you that lifted your hand, this is your moment. Don't let anybody take it away from you. And this is the moment where everything changes. The past is in the past, and he makes all things new right now. And all I'm asking you to do is when you say these words, say them from the bottom of your heart. Say them like you mean them, that you want to say them. And you will see how things will begin to shift and things will begin to change. Let's all pray. Say, Father, I come to you this morning. In the name of Jesus the Christ. And I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Give me a new start, Lord. Give me a fresh start, Father. Now, Holy Spirit, come and fill me right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a clap, guys. Come on. And for those of you that made that decision today, you need to know that all of heaven is celebrating with you. This is a new beginning. This is a new start. And Father, we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we'll see you guys tonight. Have a blessed day in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.